Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast. This week, it's NBA chat. Week straight after, I guess, the All-Star weekend, which is a... I mean, a lot of people, I've heard criticism, but I still love the All-Star weekend. Criticism in certain aspects, but basically, I still love All-Star weekend.
No way. All-Star weekend's awesome.
And it's good for the players because they, you know, the ones that aren't participating get some well-needed rest, which is good coming into the race to the finals, so to speak. They call this the halfway point, which we all know it's really, I guess,
yeah, we're a little bit past that.
Yeah, but they call it the halfway point.
Those guys who aren't in participants in All-Star weekend, they get themselves a good eight or so days off, which would be super refreshing in the middle, because they've only done that in the last few years now. I think that's another Adam Silver initiative to give them a little bit of extra. I think it's more for the players that actually participate in All-Star weekend and not the guys that don't. So they actually get a little bit of rest as well.
Well, the only two people that seemed to be straight after that didn't need rest was Bam Adebayo and Trae Young. Now, Hawks, like, coming out and beat Miami Heat 129-124, but Trae Young having career night of 50 points.
The big ones.
And that was literally the day after All-Star too. So he would have played All-Star game, and then that was the day after, so at home, back in Atlanta. So it's probably not a big trip.
It was in Atlanta. It was like 4 days later, but, you know, that's his first game.
Yeah.
His first game after, and yeah, just a little nugget to start off the pod, the last Atlanta Hawk to score 50. I was shocked to hear it. Sharif Abdul-Rahim. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he had a 50-point game in that boy, but yeah, two thousand and two.
So to me, every time I say Atlanta Hawks in my head, the only name that comes to my head straight away is, firstly, probably Josh Smith. He's probably not the first, but Josh Smith and the Hall of Famer.
The first person I think of is Dominic Wilkins.
Dominic Wilkins, yeah.
The next person I think of is Spud Webb.
Yeah, no, I don't really think about the Atlanta Hawks that much. That's the problem, I suppose.
There's a reason for that, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Interesting that the Heat went down in that game. Like the starting five, they all had decent figures. Even Dragic got 19 points. I don't know if it was – well, I don't really know what it was, because Jay Crowder played pretty good in his first start, that was – 23 minutes and 14 points.
A lot of times you can't overcome a player that scores 50. It's a rare occasion that the team or a player who scores 50 loses. Mm-hmm. But just to open up the technical second half of the season, and he just comes out with a 50 burger.
The only one that really, I guess, disappointed his first start for the Atlanta Hawks was Dwayne Dedmon, 20 minutes, 0 points, and 8 rebounds. So not the greatest start, but I mean, like, he could be just getting. He is a center too, so he could be just getting into that sort of system as well at the start. He only played 20 minutes at the center, but.
They'll have to sort of split minutes between him and Clint Capella.
He didn't play that game. So
Capella's just off the top of my head. I can't think of what's wrong with him at the moment. But The other game on that day as well was Brooklyn pushing Philadelphia. All the way. That was on TNT, and they pushed them all the way to overtime. And Brooklyn really should have won that game. Yeah. And they ended up scoring 1 point in overtime.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What is that? Brooklyn looked really good. That was definitely going to be a talking point for me that Brooklyn come out hot, but That's sort of, I guess they got knocked off a little bit by the class, and yeah, Philadelphia is basically, well, they've only got what, two losses at home, so that's the best home record in the NBA.
And Simmons was out in that game too, I believe, because so Embiid ended up stepping up and having a decent double-double game. There was a 39-point, 16 rebounds. So
He had a Embiid's had a monster the last couple of games. So
yeah,
but yeah, he kept, well, and that's the thing, you know, Philadelphia playing in Philly, like they love it, and they're what are they, 9-19 on the road? It's a Jekyll and Hyde team at the moment.
It's 26-2 at home, so that's absolutely insane.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, two losses at home.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Was there any other games that sort of caught your interest? I think the LA Boston one was one we were talking about.
Oh yeah, the big game over the weekend, I guess, was the sort of a marquee matchup was the long time rivals of Boston and the Lakers that was in LA. Close game.
Yeah, really close game.
But yeah, basically took a bit of a dream shake by LeBron. I think it was with 31 seconds left to sort of bury.
It felt like an old sort of old Dirk Nowitzki shot.
Yeah.
And it was I don't know, it just felt like a throw. Yeah, right. Like it was like a throwback sort of dream shake.
No Kemba Walker either for Boston. So, you know, I guess you take that into account a little bit.
The only thing that erupts. Is that his team now? Like, if you've got decent players and all that there, and you've got Kemba Walker, you know, is that Jason Tatum's team now?
I think so. Just purely on the fact that he was drafted there. He's been there. Like, you know, he could probably, you know, argue Kemba Walker, but, you know, this is his first season there. So, I think he's probably taken over the reins that this is my team.
Yeah.
He's the youngest player with a 40-point game in that rivalry, in that Celtics Lakers rivalry. He's the youngest player to score 40 plus.
Yeah. I still don't like Boston's green away jersey. I hate that jersey. I don't hate the color. I hate the way it's designed. I just don't like the look of it. It feels, I don't know. It just has that sort of childish, or I don't know. I just don't like the writing. I don't like the name on the back. The color's fine.
Yeah.
It's just the way the writing is. The writing just doesn't look. Yeah. I don't. It's just
one of those city jerseys that they just keep pumping out. Some of them look horrible.
Well, yeah, there's only one good one. We both know what that is.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it outsells the other 29 teams combined.
The Miami Vice one. It's not even like that everyone's a big fan of Miami Vice, which there probably is fans out there. It's just the way the writing is and the way that it's set up. It's just a beautiful looking jersey. So even with the pink in there, when they did the pink, that was awesome. The black jersey with the pink writing.
Yeah, no, yeah, all facets of it are, they're amazing jerseys.
A couple of the games that sort of just happened over the last few days Bradley Beal getting two 50-point games back-to-back.
Back-to-back 50s, yeah, all, you know, on the day of the Kobe Bryant Memorial in LA, the last player to post back-to-back. did you drop something? the last player to post back-to-back 50s was one Kobe Bryant in 2007. So I think he posted a 60. I think it's a 60 and then a 50.
50, yeah. Bradley got a 53, and then that game they just lost at overtime. Yeah. Yeah, he got 55 against the Buckies. So,
yeah, Middleton, that's a career high. Unreal.
Even Middleton pulling out 40 points. I mean, yeah, I know he hasn't hit him, but
yeah, God. He had 40.
It's, he really, I don't know, with Bucks, I sort of thought, when they were relying just on Middleton and Antetokounmpo, finally, and Bledsoe, I thought there wasn't going to be enough shooting. But, Middleton's playing very, very well. Well, it's more surprising to me than anything. That's all I was sort of really getting at.
Well, the signing of Marvin Williams, like he's actually playing meaningful minutes now and on a decent team. So he should be able to help them out a bit.
George Hill's playing well for them.
Yeah, DiVincenzo.
He's
been playing great. Like it's Connaughton's playing all right. Milwaukee come out and just smoked Philadelphia on Sunday.
Well, that cleans them. That's the first team that cleans the playoffs, I believe.
Yeah, they got a playoff spot already. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Which is they were saying one of the quickest in like nearly 10 years.
Yeah.
The quickest sort of playoff clinch. So and in that game, I don't know. It's just maybe because they rested him, but Giannis only played 25 minutes. He pulled out 22 points and 14 rebounds in 25 minutes, which is absolutely ridiculous. But
yeah, they've got to start thinking long term because they will be looking at making a run into the finals. So they've got to start thinking about now that they've locked up a playoff spot. Once they lock in the one seed in the East, which probably won't be too many games from now. Then they can start to look at resting those stars.
So what happens just with the Wizards? Like Bradley Beal, he's a monster player. He's had some monster games, but
man, he has had some insane games this year. Just
So what do they do? Well, that's exactly right. So what do Wizards do? What does Bradley Beal do? Because I believe, which I'm just checking now, I believe he's at his contract or he's at the point maybe. Or no, he signed a 5-year contract not long ago, I believe. I'm just going to look it up now.
Yeah,
but
he's tied there for a little while. All I can do is,
he's tied there till next year.
Yeah, can they repeat the John Wall Bradley Beal combo again and try and build around those two? Like it just seems like John Wall's been out forever.
It feels like John Wall's been out for years,
it's been a year and a half essentially.
So he's just on a terrible contract at the moment. But
it's a terrible contract. But besides the fact that he's hurt, he's done an Achilles. So it's Washington, they're tied to him. No, they're married to him. Nobody's really going to want to take on that even next year because they've got to see what he comes back like.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's an Achilles injury and it's not the best injury to come back to, really.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest injuries to come back, as full strength as, John Wall's. Yeah, John Wall's been around for a little while, but he's not exactly the youngest guy getting around. But it's a tough injury to come back from. So you generally, even the next season, you're generally not yourself. So
they've got another 4 years with him too. So
they're married to him. So he's not going anywhere.
Or $47 million is a lot. Final year contract is $47 million.
Yep, that's Chris Paul contract, that one.
That's worse than a Chris Paul contract. Unless Chris is playing.
That's true. Yeah, but... CP3's playing and playing really well. So, unfortunately, they're paying John Wall to do rehab.
Well, they are, because they only just... Before we move on, he only signed that contract last year. So this is
went down pretty much instantly.
So, and that you can't predict that, obviously, but no, man, that's the very, very hard contract. Honestly, you give it 4 or 5 years and this is going to happen in the NBA. Like these massive contracts, people won't be able to move anywhere.
Who's to say what the league looks like in 4 years?
In terms of the value
style of play, value of contracts. Like, it's...
Well, yeah. I was listening to like a Bill Simmons podcast, and he come up with a radical idea because they, you know, they're getting 40 million plus contracts now, which they deserve. I'm not disputing what how much oh, their money no, they get. But the removable contracts. So he come up because obviously you've got to be 15% either which way within the contract to trade players. You've got to be a 15% low or high. He come up with the idea because there are removable contracts. With you get one per year, but you only have to be within 50%. Just one per year, but it's a radical idea. But you'll actually see more people move. You're going to be within 50%, and then those contracts can move. But you only get one per year. That's it. So I don't know. It's going to get to a point, and then once you sign those contracts like that, you are with that team. It's going to be very hard to move. Well, I mean, it's going to be like for like, but it's going to be very hard to move those players.
Yeah, that's it. And there's going to be more of them. But there's not going to be the exponential cap jump like there has been over the past, you know, sort of four to five years, or, you know, 3 or 4 years even, say. You know, the revenue as to, the revenue for the NBA sort of taking a bit of a hit with the latest dealings with China and stuff like that. Yeah. So that, yeah, they're going to take a pretty heavy financial hit on that. So that cap ain't going anywhere for a while.
I think everybody's taking a financial hit on China at the moment.
Yeah, with, no, yeah,
with
true.
With a uncertain coronavirus happening, but anyway, that's a whole different issue.
Yeah, well.
Well, this is not a virus, but speaking of injuries. Oh God, how many injuries have happened in the last few days?
Well, we've had a few sort of, you know, stars go down. We've had Ben Simmons left the game against Milwaukee the other day early in the first quarter. He only had like 5 points. It was like in the first 6 minutes.
He's
aggravated a back injury and there. Yeah, that they've just come out and just said, like, we don't know. Yeah, he needs to go for scans, and we've just got to wait for those.
They still don't know. That's the thing. No. I don't know if they want to say or what the go is.
Hush, I think.
Very hush hush. He looked very uncomfortable when he sort of after that foul when he shot those shots. You could just tell he was like real seized up, I guess, so to speak. So he was I don't know what's happening with it. I mean, at the moment they're playing well without him, but they're gonna. I mean, it's like you said, sort of with the playoff run, you know, get these players healthy like Giannis and all that up until the playoffs because they're going to be pretty entrenched in the playoffs. 76ers.
Well, they're not going to drop out of the playoff run or anything, but they're currently sitting fifth, so they're not going to have any sort of home court advantage. So we know what their home record, their home versus their away record is like. So they could get bounced in the first round.
Well, thankfully they're only a half a game behind the Heat, which are fourth at the moment. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah. Well, from their win, their home record alone. Yeah, you would love them to be. Well, their fans would love them to be at home.
Exactly, losses at home. So you know you can pretty much take that to the bank at the moment.
You called it pretty early, and like a lot of podcasts ago, Kyrie Irving was going to have surgery and be out for the year. You did call it, so it has happened. So
I just couldn't see any way around it. He's seen two shoulder specialists now. He's seen one in Phoenix on December 24. Uh-huh. He was given cortisone shots to try and stave off, you know, just to try and relieve the pain and try and stave off surgery. And that's worked for a little while. And I don't know if anybody's has ever had a cortisone shot, but I've heard that they're not very pleasant. So to sort of have one in your shoulder, you know, in your shoulder probably wouldn't be very fun. And now they've basically had to bite the bullet and go in. They've seen another specialist now, and they've come out and said that this is the best course of action at this time for him to have the shoulder surgery. He's only played 20 games this year.
You said it like, I think it was about, you know, 5 to 6 weeks ago. It makes total sense. He was playing injured anyway.
Exactly.
They're not really going anywhere. They had Spencer Dinwiddie, who's playing lights out for him at the moment, so they don't really need him. Yeah, you said it before. Get him healthy. KD's back next year, and they'll have the lethal combo they want.
All the chips on the table for next year.
Correct.
Well, KD's doing workouts and everything like that now, so like there's next to no chance that he's going to play this year.
No, definitely not.
So
he looks scary already.
Well, that's right. Yeah, and again, that's an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
What's KD going to come back like?
Yeah, true. Yeah, exactly right.
If he's 80% of what he was, like he's still going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, he's going to be pretty damn good. Another player that's out indefinitely, Karl Anthony Towns with a left wrist injury.
He's got a cracked wrist, a broken wrist. So they're going to reassess him in another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So he hasn't played much over the last couple of weeks to start with. He missed a couple of games before the All-Star break, and then this news has come out after the All-Star break. So they must have thought that there was something going on. It must just be a crack in the wrist. Like, it can't be a full broken wrist if he's only going to be, you know, out for 2 weeks. So it must just be a bit of a fracture in the wrist. So, that's obviously, that's probably going to help Minnesota, so to speak.
I think so.
They're going to get another high draft pick again next year. So, you know, I'm sure Carl Anthony Towns wants to play, and now, yeah, D'Angelo Russell's gone from the leader of the Golden State Warriors now to pretty much being the leader of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So,
yeah, he probably can't catch a break. He said, I can't play with anybody.
That's right. Yeah, everywhere he goes, it's just there. It's an injury ward.
Yeah, he can't literally play with anybody.
No, that's right. Exactly.
A couple of also, I guess, at a late, well, we'll call them waivers, I suppose. Some waivers and signings as well that have happened.
Yeah, well, the first one that I'd heard of, or that I heard sort of earlier in the week, was Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Was bought out by Detroit. So they are just, the Pistons are just in full tank mode. Holy moly. Yeah, they are in major tank mode. They bought out Reggie Jackson. He was on the last year of his 5-year, $80 million deal. So,
yep.
So he's gone to the LA Clippers. apparently, he's lifelong friends with Paul George. So, there might have been a little bit of recruiting going on there.
I thought that was
an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, okay. Although, I mean, the other one they also picked up was Marcus Morris, the Clippers, when they traded him with the Knicks.
Markeith Morris.
Markeith Morris went to the Lakers, didn't he? I meant the Clippers.
Marcus Morris went to the Clippers.
Markeith Morris
is going to the Lakers.
Yeah, so what I was saying, so with Marcus Morris, sorry, going to the Clippers.
To the Clips,
who's apparently really, well, I don't know. I've heard like he was really good, well, good friends, but acquaintances, so to speak, with Kawhi Leonard. But the reason I'm sort of bringing those two names up is there's a little thing is coming out that with the Clippers, are they not? They're not in a free fall, but are they a little bit worried at where they're sitting at the moment coming into the playoffs?
I don't. You could say yes and no.
You could.
As long as they wrap up a top four spot, I'm sure they'll be happy and they'll get, you know, at least they'll get a home court in the first round. It just depends on as long as they're healthy.
Yeah.
They won't fear anybody. So they won't fear going on the road to Denver. Yeah. They won't fear going on the road to to Houston, and they certainly won't fear, you know, going into their own building playing against the Lakers. If that ends up happening in the second round, which would just be huge if that matchup come into the second round. A lot of people are sort of predicting all LA conference finals, but if it so works out that that they end up meeting in the conference semifinals, that'd be kind of a bit of a disappointment for everybody. But those, as long as they wrap up a top four spot and Paul George is healthy, he's really battling that that hamstring injury. That's really giving him some trouble. So as long as they're healthy, then they're not going to fear anybody.
And that's what I mean. I definitely agree with that, because I mean, there's been articles coming out about it, like, you know, these couple of signings that they're doing, are they a little bit worried or a bit shaky? But come playoff time, like I said, once they're in the top four, you've got a playoff specialist in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So, and they've got, you know, a massive depth. And I agree, they wouldn't be fearing anybody. As long as everybody's healthy, they have a very, very, very
even
good squad.
Even if Paul George, either isn't 100% or, you know, isn't quite ready to go for the playoffs or anything, like you said, they've got Kawhi Leonard, who's just at the top of his game at the moment. They're just not going to be afraid of anybody.
The Markieff Morris, just recently getting signed by the Lakers, off of waivers. Unfortunately, they had to get rid of a roster spot. So they end up waiving DeMarcus Cousins.
He just can't catch a break. Man, he just cannot catch a break.
He's 29 years old.
He must just be absolutely cursing the day that Sacramento traded him to New Orleans, like that over that All Star period a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Because she just went downhill from there.
Not that you could have predicted what would have happened, but
these things happen, but it's just been a brutal last couple of years for him. And him and AD are actually starting to put together a decent combination towards the end of his tenure. He actually got hurt on Australia Day that year for the Pels.
I mean,
ruptured his Achilles, and just on a nothing. So he was going for a rebound and falling out of bounds.
He just
hopped a little bit, tried to save the ball, and then all of a sudden, gone.
He's only 29 years old, so he still has years left. He, like you said, this has only recently come out, like, even though he has been waived, I think he still likes the Lakers, and they have a mutual interest in maybe looking signing him next year or the year after, because there's obviously a lot of 1 year contracts. But if he gets healthy and that AD combo somehow works out like New Orleans, that would be absolutely ridiculous.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine Boogie, AD, LeBron? What a front line that is! Grief. You don't know what Boogie's going to come back like. You know, Achilles injury, quad injury, ACL tear.
Twenty-nine aside, like, you're right, he's gone through so many injuries.
And that was the thing with Golden State last year. Just get healthy, and he wasn't really producing a whole lot. He might have had one or two games here and there in the playoffs that he sort of, you know, made his worth, and then down he goes again.
Yeah, well, speaking of Warriors, they've now officially ruled out Klay Thompson for the rest of the year.
Yeah, don't
which see. Is smart. I think that's a smart idea.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't think he was ever going to play, but I think that maybe just...
At the start of the year, I'm pretty sure that the Warriors organization come out and said, that there's slim to nil chance of him playing at all this season, unless they sort of somehow made a run through to the finals, and we all know that the Warriors have only got, like, 12 wins this year. Obviously, that doesn't help with the Steph Curry injury as well. He's been cleared for contact. and is looking at a March return, which I think is just absolutely ludicrous for him to even think to come back and spoil this perfect season that the Warriors have got going on. Like, just don't. Just have a rest.
Just have a rest.
Have a rest. Stay home with the family. Get on the cooking show. You know, parade Briley around. You know, hang out with Dad for a while. Like, just
go and watch your brother chill. Play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Seth Curry's killing it at the moment.
Yeah, he is killing it. Oh, you love Seth Curry. You love.
I love Seth Curry, man. I love Seth Curry.
I know you do.
Why is a Seth Curry jersey?
Well, speaking of, not speaking of Mavericks, but I guess now that we're sort of in that run in to sort of the playoffs at the moment, we're well over halfway. Let's not kid ourselves. If we look at sort of like what your sevens are sort of like the East and the Western Conference, and you wanted to sort of talk about the position seven, even up to 11, 12, and sort of see what teams can actually make it and what I guess their run-in's going to be like.
Well, in the East, I would say that the Eastern Conference playoffs are set.
Okay.
Orlando's eighth at the moment. Washington's like 3.5 games behind in ninth. And Chicago
and losing games fast too.
That's right, and losing games. And Orlando knocked off Brooklyn today, which is kind of big because that means they gain a full game on Brooklyn, who are in seventh. So Orlando will be looking to avoid the Bucks. So Orlando will be doing everything they can to try and sneak into that seventh spot to try and avoid a pretty convincing sweep against Milwaukee in the first round of the playoffs. And the thing is too, the Orlando's they're 8 games below 500. Like it's,
yeah.
And Adam Silver wants to reward these teams, these 9 and 10 teams. It's 9 teams and 20 wins. Chicago is 18 games under 500.
And I totally get that, but I completely get that. But this is the first time. This is the first time in years that I've seen the EC Conference where at least the top six teams are over 500.
No, that's right. The top of the East is good, and the bottom of the East is just stinkfest.
So I think it's more the top.
It'll just be the positioning.
And I think really you could probably say I don't think the Bucks are not going to move for one. The Raptors will stay at two, but I'd say between that three and six.
Will be real interesting.
Yeah. Which is the Boston, Celtics, Philly, the Heat,
and the Pace.
Yeah.
They'll all be jostling for position over the next month or 6 weeks or so as we come into the playoffs. So the seedings will be different, but I think the teams are set for the East.
What about the West? The West is speaking of under 500.
Don't make me think about the West. I don't want to think about the West.
I know why you don't want to think about the West.
I don't want to think about the West. Hey,
they've climbed up.
Memphis are sinking fast.
They are sinking fast. They're under 500 now.
According to ESPN, the Memphis Grizzlies have the toughest schedule for the rest of the season, meaning, that they'll be playing a lot of teams that'll be either playoff teams or above 500. And the New Orleans Pelicans have the easiest run into the playoffs.
I'm just looking at their run now, the Grizzlies. Over probably 60-70% of those teams are top eight teams. So and top four, most of them, like your Raptors are in there. The Nuggets are in there. The Sixers are in there. The Celtics are in there.
If they don't snap themselves out of this little funk that they're in at the moment, then they're in a little bit of free fall. And so's Utah at the moment. Like Utah coming out of the All-Star break has just lost three straight at home.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, they lost to San Antonio, who were on the bubble a little bit. They lost to Houston. That was a back-to-back game. But then they lose to Phoenix today, and they got throttled.
Well, Rubio probably just had to make a point that why trade me? Why let me go, I should say. Yeah, I don't know. Right. Yeah, I agree.
But to lose three straight at home out of the All-Star break, like that's not that it's super concerning, but that's a sluggish way to come off, you know, a nice juicy little break that you just had, to sort of drop three games where two of them would have been not easy wins, but you know, you would pencil them in for a win against San Antonio and against Phoenix. Yeah, Houston would be tough, but that's a sluggish start, and Utah are in fifth at the moment. So if you sort of had the playoffs to start now, they would play Houston. The 4-5 matchup is Houston versus Utah.
Except with the Pelicans, yeah. Except for they got the Lakers twice in a matter of days, by the way. And then they've got a couple of decent teams in the Clippers, Heat, and a couple others. But generally, you know, we're looking at Kings, Knicks, Suns, Wizards, Hornets.
Oh, Wizards, yeah, no. Again. Zion is going to eat all of them alive.
So they have a chance. They have a chance of making that eight. They will be coming up against the Lakers, most likely. It seems to be that way, but.
Shout out to Gruber too. He's actually going to that one of the Lakers Pels games, so he actually gets to lay his eyes on Zion. So good on him.
Nice.
He's I'd be pretty excited too. He was hoping that Zion would be back, and he is, and hopefully it's not like on a back to back or anything where they rest him. So hopefully he's actually there and playing. So shout out Grub. Yeah, you should enjoy the Zion show. But it's the one in New Orleans.
Yeah, so they play Lakers tomorrow in LA, and then what's that Wednesday, and then Monday is when they're back in New Orleans. So it's a bit of a rest, I suppose. But
yeah, a little bit of a rest.
Anyway,
back from LA, I'll be fine.
He'll be right.
But Portland. Yeah, New Orleans is only a half a game behind Portland.
Correct.
Damian Lillard gone for, you know, maybe another week at least. So they're going to be hard pressed what they're doing at the moment. They're going to have to lean on CJ McCollum a lot, and Hassan Whiteside. Like, they're a casualty ward as well.
Yeah.
Portland. So that's going to be tough for them. And then San Antonio is another game behind New Orleans. So Sacramento and Phoenix maybe have an outside shot because they're only two and a half games behind behind New Orleans. So it just depends on what Memphis do. If Memphis has to do is tread water and stay at 500 or thereabouts, they'll make the playoffs.
And it seems to be pretty. I don't see the top four changing now that Utah are in a free fall. Like, I think it's Lakers, Nuggets, Clippers, and Rockets. Maybe not in that order, but I think that's pretty entrenched. And then the Jazz, the Thunder, the surprise packet this year, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Mavericks, and then you're right, maybe that top eight could go a lot of different ways, I suppose.
Yeah, well, at least two, Portland, New Orleans, and San Antonio have just got to absolutely win, you know, more games than not. Hope that Memphis just, you know, poo the bed and, you know, sort of drop right out, which I don't see happening. Like, they've just lost Jaren Jackson Jr. For a couple of weeks with a knee sprain, so that doesn't really help them, but. You know, this is the time for Ja Morant to sort of pretty much step up and go, right, you know, put this young team on his shoulders. You know, the young kid Jalen Brunson, Dylan Brooks, they've got good young players there. So I think Ja Morant can sort of get them to tread water enough to be able to keep those other teams at bay and to be able to sneak into the playoffs.
And there's really – there's no – that'll be the only position because they are 6.5 games behind Dallas. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be too hard of a
hill
to climb.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. if Doncic and Porzingis, you know, keep piling on like you know, like we know that they can as a pretty hectic duo.
Yeah.
That – man, could – Could you right now it'd be Denver and Dallas.
Yeah.
Like,
which would be awesome. It'd be basically a world game, so to speak.
That would be a crazy first round matchup.
Or Kristaps versus the Joker. That'd be phenomenal.
It'd be insane. You know, they're being very, very careful with Porzingis and his, you know, any sort of knee soreness or, you know, anything. They're just like, righto, sit out. They're being pretty cautious with him, which is the way to do it. So, that'd be a real intriguing first round matchup, Dallas and Denver.
Well, I mean, that'll do it, I guess. They're sort of going over everything for this week's NBA sort of wrap up.
Yeah, I reckon that'll do. You know, we can obviously revisit our playoff predictions in a couple of weeks,
yeah,
and see how much they ring true. But coming into this stretch now, it's all about health. So teams will be resting players if need be, trying to get through to the playoffs, which will be it's another month or so, probably 5 or 6 weeks. So that's fun times.
I think we're pretty just looking at our awards picks too. I think we're pretty on the I guess on the nose with like MVP. I'm pretty sure Giannis. It's going to be pretty hard to beat him.
Yeah.
I think we'll talk about the codes later, but. You don't want to revisit your defensive player of the year. I don't know if you remember who you picked. That's got traded to a dumpster team.
Andre Drummond now playing for the hapless Cleveland Cavaliers. No, I reckon I'm gonna stick with it.
All right, well we'll leave it alone. But the coach, I think we both went on the coach with Eric Spoelstra. So
man, I don't think he can look past Spoelstra.
No, I don't think he can, but. I guess we'll see. Giannis is pretty much not man. That guy just every time I see him play,
it's either Spoelstra or Nick Nurse. Like that's
Nick Nurse. Yeah, you're right. Nick Nurse is correct. I just every that All Star weekend when I seen Giannis play, it wasn't even his defense that really, like you know, he's offensively he's a great player, but God, he can defend. My God, no, I didn't really. He can defend.
He could be a sneaky for defensive player of the year.
He's so committed. Like it's just every time I watch him play, especially like he loves playing against LeBron. He's just so committed to defense and like you know, as you know, really stretching out there when LeBron's doing his little Dirk pullbacks and everything.
He gets that mean face as well when he like dunks it and it's a you know with a little dunk with authority. He sort of gives a little bit of a flex and he gives that sort of snarl look on his face. You're just like, oh man, he's. He means business. He needs to. Yeah, I know it's the regular season, but he sort of needs to tone that down a little bit and bring that out in the playoffs.
I don't think people realize just his length of his reach. His reach is just it's phenomenal. No, it's I don't think they've reached they realize
like a, he's how got like a seven. It. He's got like a 7'3" wingspan.
That is absolutely ridiculous. Oh my God!
But you go have a look. You go have a look at him four years ago. He's skinny as hell.
He is skinny as hell. Yeah, no, he did the right thing. He's put some muscle on. My God, he's put muscle on.
It's just taken, and that's what they've got to do. It's just taken that few years to do it. Instead of just going and just putting a heap of bulk on over in one summer, they've just slowly bulked him up. Like they're pretty much like what like New Orleans did with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis come out of Kentucky, man. Holy moly, he was skinny.
Yep. Even as I say, Pascal Siakam, he was a skinny boy only a few years ago, and now he's put on some serious muscle mass. So Anthony, he was. My God, Anthony Davis was small in college.
Oh man, he was so skinny.
Yeah. So you're right. It's built over time. But God, yeah, he's. I just every time I see him, I just. And he's so young. He's just a freak. He's an absolute freak, Giannis. He's insane. Well, that'll do it. Don't forget to follow us on all
the. Detroit, he's the Detroit Pistons. He's a tank.
He is a Detroit Piston. Don't forget to follow us on the socials, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter at the Final Play Pod. My name's Jason. I'm not even going to say anything else. My name's Jason Smith. I can't really think of anything tonight.
No, you got nothing. I'll just say I'm Miles Tank Plum. And
all right, I'm Jason Detroit Smith.
Piston Smith.
Piston Smith.
best player on your team is Derrick Rose.
I'm Jason Palace of Auburn Hill Smith.
It's a little Caesars Arena now. They've gone away from the Palace.
Or Jason Malice in the Palace. Smith.
Malice in the Palace. Nobody forget that.
No one forgets that.
That was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen on TV. Ever. That's just.
Just Google it. Anyone out there, just Google Malice in the Palace, M-A-L-I-C-E in the Palace, and just watch what you don't think happens at an NBA game. Because
you will not be disappointed.
You will not be disappointed.
You will not be disappointed.
No, definitely not. Oh, have a good week, everyone.
All right. See ya.
Peace.